Our message tonight is out of 1 John chapter 2, verses 28 to chapter 3, verse 3, fellowshipping with God in view of Christ's return. When John wrote the first epistle of John, he implied in 1 John chapter 1, verse 3, that a number of his readers did not enjoy spiritual fellowship with the apostles, with God the Father, and with his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Such a lack of true fellowship occurs with many believers today, a state that Jesus predicted would exist in our era in Revelation 3:14 to 22. We thus continue our study of 1 John in viewing 1 John 2:28 to 3:3 on our need to fellowship with the Lord in preparation for Christ's return. I want to read the verses and then we'll look at them. 1 John chapter 2, beginning at verse 28 and going to 3:3. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. And the better manuscripts add, and that we are. Therefore, the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that has this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he, that's Jesus, is pure. Well, having addressed the spiritually immature little children, that's the Greek word paideia, in 1 John chapter 2, verse 13 and verses 18 to 27, John returned to using the noun technon that he employed in 1 John 2:12 that the King James Version renders little children, but it really means born ones. It's like the Scottish term bairns, B-A-I-R-N-S. This is a person who is a child of God, and a child of God in the sense that you have been born into the family of God. And that could be a believer who is a mature believer, it could be a believer at the young man status, it could be a believer in the little child status. So we know that John is no longer speaking to the immature children, but he's returning to address all of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. So then John in 1 John 2:28 admonished believers of all the levels of spiritual maturity to fellowship with the Lord, that is to remain in him, that they might be confident and not ashamed over being out of fellowship with the Lord at the appearing of Jesus Christ. It's interesting, when John uses the word remain, he's always going back to John chapter 15, where Jesus said, remain in me and my words in you. And the remaining, Jesus pictured himself as the vine and the believers as the branches that are abiding in the vine. And as long as the branches abide in the vine, then the branches can draw nutrients from the vine itself and then they're productive. You take the branch away, you prune the branch away from the vine, then it's not productive. And so John, by remaining, he's going back to John chapter 15, verse 10, that really defines remaining in Christ as observing God's commandments with a high level of devotion to him. Remember the word keep that we had back in 1 John 2:3. It's the Greek word tereo. It's used in John 15:10. Keep my commandments, tereo. And we know that that's the same verb that is used here in 1 John 2:28. And we've already learned that that verb actually means to obey the Lord or to observe the Lord's commands with a high level of devotion to the Lord. This isn't just obeying, running through the mill, and, you know, doing the things that God wants us to do. It's doing the things that God wants us to do with devotion to the Lord. You love to do those things because that's what your Savior wants and calls you to do. So that's what you do them for. So John taught that have confidence before the Lord and not to be ashamed at his appearing, we must fellowship with God. That is, observe his biblical commands with a high level of devotion to the Lord. So if you're obeying the word of God and you have a high level of devotion to the Lord, you have nothing to be ashamed about if the rapture were to occur in the next 10 seconds. Because if that's your attitude at this point, you won't be ashamed. You'll be confident in the presence of your Lord. And that's the way God wants us to be. God doesn't want us to be ashamed when he appears. He wants us to have confidence. He wants it to be a joyful meeting. John added that if we know, and the Greek word that he used there is oida, if we know absolutely, and that way we know absolutely from the Holy Spirit in Scripture, that Christ is righteous, we also experientially know, this is now he shifts to the other Greek word, gnosko, in our walk, that everyone who practices or produces, that's the word poieo, righteousness is born of God. So if we know absolutely from the Word of God and the Holy Spirit that Christ is righteous, then we also experientially know in our lives that everyone who practices or produces that which is righteousness is born of God. Now, by this statement, John did not mean that one is saved by works. John is not into that at all. What he meant is that a righteous walk gives evidence of the reality of our salvation, that one can experientially know he can be confident at the rapture because he observes God's commands with a high level of devotion to the Lord. So this is a wonderful thing. John says there's no secret about being able to stand confident before the Lord and to know that you can stand confident before the Lord if you are keeping the commandments of the Lord Jesus Christ with a heart of devotion. You love the Lord and you are keeping these with a high level of devotion. That means that you are ready to meet the Lord and you will not be ashamed at his appearing. So God doesn't want the rapture to be a threat to the church. That's the furthest thing he wants. He wants his people to be joyful to be able to meet him. I mean, he died for us. He's done so much for us. He's guided us through our Christian lives and our walks. When we see him, he doesn't want it to be a big surprise and a shock. He wants it to be something that is very comfortable. Now, John explained what manner of love the Father had permanently given. Dedoken is a perfect tense of didomi. God had permanently given to us that we might be called born ones or technon of God. And the better reading that does not appear in the King James version adds, and we are. Now, some of the manuscripts left it out because it's kind of an awkward expression, but when John, remember John is in his 90s and he's writing this, and he's writing that we are children of God, and we are, you are. You know, he wants you to be excited about that fact. You're a child of God. And God has permanently given. That also implies eternal security. The sonship, the birth that you gave, you were given, is permanent. You don't take that away. It's once for all. Dedoken. It goes on into eternity. 10 trillion years from now, it's still going to be true. So once again, this is another one of those verses that just plugs in that eternal security emphasis that our Lord wants us to have. Now, because our spiritual new birth in God, the lost world does not experientially know, gnosko, in the present tense, us, because it did not experientially know, gnosko, him, in the aorist tense. But both of these are the verb gnosko. The world has an oida knowledge of God. It's heard about God in the Bible. And they refer to God as the man upstairs. You can tell they really don't know the Father. They don't know him in an experiential sense. You do, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. You know him in your walk. You've seen the Lord interact with you. He's answered your prayers, that kind of thing. And you sense his fellowship with you in your life. The world has no concept of that. And because of it, when you're fellowshipping with the Lord, the world really doesn't understand you. It tries to read you through the lenses of itself. Even as a pastor, I've been in businesses and people find out I'm a pastor and so forth, and they'll interact with me with their concept of a minister, and I can tell their concept of a minister is affected by liberal Protestant churches they've been to or whatnot, and they'll interact with me and like, this time of the year it's got to be special for you because it's Easter. And I said, well yeah, it is. Do you have special things you do, rituals? And I said, no, we just get up and preach. It's Easter Sunday, Christ rose from the dead. It's not a big deal. It's just, you know, we're joyful. Really? Or Christmas. And they think, this has got to be you must be a workaholic. I said, no, it's not bad at all. A lot of the people in the church are busy, but it's just a regular time. And they look at me like I'm strange. What kind of a minister are you anyway? And I have to say I'm different. But they have no concept of a relationship with the Lord. No, none. It's zero. But we do. We have that experiential fellowship with the Lord. So, regardless, John added that now we are God's true born ones, technon again, and what we will appear to be has not yet been manifested, but we know absolutely, oida, that's from the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, we know that when he, Jesus, shall appear at the rapture, we will be like him, for we will see him just as he is in all his glory. This is amazing. When you go to Matthew, I think it's chapter 17, where you have the Lord Jesus appearing in his glory, and his in the transfiguration, he's appearing in his messianic glory, and his clothes are white, and they're glistening, and they're shining. I like to liken it to when I was a kid, I would sometimes glimpse, I wasn't supposed to do this, at the guy who was welding, and you know how bright that light is? And I would kind of peek at it, wasn't supposed to, Dad would get mad if I did. But I'd like to think that the clothes of the Lord Jesus are shining like the blowtorch or the welding torch the person has. But it's going to be absolutely, and glistening, and the word is glistening, that the clothes that Jesus had, shimmering in something like satin. And his face shone as the sun, and we're going to be like that. Imagine that. You're going to be a light bulb forever and ever. It's just amazing. It's going to be shining with the glory of the Lord. So with this hope of reflecting the glory of our Savior at the rapture, John added that every believer who has this hope of attaining the glory of the Lord purifies himself just as Jesus is pure, that is, without sin. Now this statement applies John's burden back in verses 28 and 29 of chapter 2, that we believers should fellowship with the Lord to find cleansing from sin by confessing our sins, like 1 John 1:9 says, followed by obeying God's commands with a high level of devotion to the Lord, to be confident and not ashamed at his return. So, though the world is experientially ignorant of a purely righteous lifestyle, since it does not fellowship with God, we can fellowship with the Lord, we can keep his commandments with a high level of devotion to the Lord, and thus experientially know him and live in confidence about meeting the Lord. However, if we believers do not obey God's word and remain disobedient, we will be ashamed at the return of the Lord. Since we then hope to obtain the glory of our Lord at the rapture, we should purify ourselves of sin by confessing it to the Lord and heed scripture with a high level of devotion to the Lord, that we might meet him at the rapture with confident joy. So, since we will obtain the glory of our Lord at the rapture, we should fellowship with God in righteousness now, that when we meet him, we will not be ashamed, but experience confident joy at his presence. Got an encouraging illustration. Today we examined six people for membership. Next Sunday I got six people are going to be joining the church. Three of them, in the second, we had a group in the first group, and then we had a group in the second group. The second group was all composed of young people, young adults who have come to Christ as their Savior. They came from Christian homes. What's exciting about it, we were able to say to them, don't feel bad because you don't have a lot of sinful baggage in your history. A lot of people think you have to go out and sin like the devil before you can have a good testimony. No, please don't. You know, and these have come to know Christ. It came from Christian homes, and that's exciting. That's wonderful. And then the people who were in the first group testified too. And it's just neat to see. These are people, they feel that they want to join the church. They want to be active, be participants in the body of Christ. And that's a symbol of commitment, commitment of desiring to love the Lord. Well, just before that meeting, I was talking to a lady in the church. She's been visiting our church a couple of Sundays. And she said that she and her husband, they feel that what they like about this church is that it's an independent and it's a Bible teaching church. And it's already answered a lot of questions that they've had for years about theological issues. Just come up in the Sunday school class. And I could tell that she was almost getting ready to tell me that they were interested in joining. And I wouldn't be surprised that in the next round they would want to come and become part of our body as well. You know, it's exciting. And I told in one of the classes that we had meeting today, this is amazing. We're in a pandemic. We've got six people joining the church. You know, it's amazing what the Lord is doing. The giving has been higher than it's ever been before through this. And it shows that people are interested in the Lord, interested in serving the Lord and living for the Lord. And that's exciting. And I just wanted to share that with you. But all the more, I believe we really need to be motivated to meet the Lord. And our goal is to get other people to come to know the Lord as their Savior. And maybe Christians who are on the fringes or who aren't committed to the Lord, getting them encouraged and motivated to want to know our Lord and to want to fellowship with the Lord. May God bless us as we look forward to the future.